is Kevin Lenick, and welcome to Clubhouse Conversation.
They come from all corners of the world, and they descend on towns everywhere. Burlington, North Carolina, Idaho Falls, Idaho, Lexington, Kentucky, Wilmington, Delaware, Springdale, Arkansas, Papillion, Nebraska, and Kansas City, Missouri. What do all these men have in common? They work together to win. It's time to talk to another Royal on Clubhouse Conversation.
All right, I gotta be completely honest. It's Dave-O, and I'm glad you're along for another edition of Clubhouse Conversation, the place where we catch up with all your favorite current and former Royals players. And I say that I've gotta be honest because, well, I'm excited for every single conversation we do here on Clubhouse Conversation, where we wanna get the full story of each Royals player from childhood through high school or college, the minor leagues, the major leagues. So every single guy I talk to, I'm excited about. But this one, I'm especially excited about. Kevin Lenick joins us today on Clubhouse Conversation. And I'm excited about this guy because literally his life could easily become a movie someday. And I'm going to mention The Rookie to him with Dennis Quaid. There's definitely some parallels when you look at this thing. No, he's not a high school science teacher. He's not in his mid-30s. I don't mean it like that. But there are some parallels. I'm telling you, this could be a Hollywood movie sometime for Kevin Lenick. And Hollywood, you know, makes sense since he's from that area. Grew up in the L.A. area. Even drove an Uber in Hollywood? What? We'll talk about that. Kevin Lenick signed with the Royals in late June of 2017. That was last year after a brief stint with the Windy City Thunderbolts of the Frontier League. Before that, in 2016, he was an undrafted free agent that had signed with the Texas Rangers and spent a year in the Northwest League in short season. And Kevin Lenick last year, of course, blew up for the Royals, had combined marks of a 1.69 ERA and 19 appearances between Burlington, Lexington, and Omaha, 39 Ks and 37 and a third innings. And this year, 2018, he begins the campaign out of the Omaha Storm Chasers bullpen. And Lenick joins us right now on Clubhouse Conversation. First of all, Kevin, it's, you know, I'm very happy to have you here on Clubhouse Conversation. Second of all, how's everything going with you?
Thank you for having me, and everything's going well. Just enjoying my time out here in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, you guys are in the beginning of a nice long homestand right now. So how are you liking Omaha? You spent, about 3 or 4 weeks there last year, and you're back there this year. Are you starting to feel like you know the town a little bit?
Yeah, I'm starting to get acclimated with it, you know, finding my way. Still got to use my Waze app, the Waze app, to get around. But, yeah, I like it. I found this lake not too far from my apartment that whenever I get some free time, I go over there and either run or just sit and relax and enjoy the view.
Nice. Well, the traffic's got to be a lot nicer than what you're used to out in Cali, right?
Oh, yeah. Much better. I don't think I've had any traffic out here in Omaha so far. You don't have to plan your day accordingly.
Right.
So you just go out there when you need to go somewhere,
yeah.
Get in the car and go. Not a care in the world for traffic.
Yeah, since you're from the L.A. area, you'll appreciate this. I flew out last summer to go check out Mike Trout and the Angels. Flew into LAX. That was a mistake. I got there at 1:30 in the afternoon. Got the rental car at 2. I didn't get out there until 5:45 at the ballpark.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is, especially yeah. LAX.
Yeah, you're
stand
not
up. Nowhere to go, bumper to bumper. Hopefully, have some good music playing.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, so I'm guessing since you're from California, first time in Nebraska last year, is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, 100%. Never thought I'd be in Omaha, Nebraska, but honestly, I'm just taking it in and enjoying the scenery out here. Really green.
Yeah, it is. Now, Richard Lovelady is your roommate who we talked to recently, and we've had Nicky Lopez on who played at Creighton recently. None of y'all have tried a Runza. Is that still a thing? You still haven't tried one yet?
Runza, I'm not even familiar with what that is.
Oh, dude. Okay, it's a restaurant. It's like a Nebraska restaurant. They serve like these. It's called a Runza. It's called a sandwich. The sandwich is called a Runza, and so is the restaurant. So it's like a sandwich with like ground beef, cabbage, all these different. It sounds awful, but it's amazing. You got to try one here pretty soon. You've got Runza Day coming up. I think you guys are wearing Runza uniforms here in the near future, actually.
Okay, then I better go figure it out. I better go taste it.
Yeah, you got to try it out. Well, we'll come back and talk more about this year, but let's go way back then, learn more about you. So you went to Bishop Alemany High School, Mission Hills. Is that right outside of L.A.?
It's in L.A. City. It's just outside probably about 15 minutes from 20 minutes from downtown, but with traffic, it'll probably take you about 2.5 hours.
Okay. Well, you played baseball there as a freshman, and then you kind of quit baseball to focus solely on football. So was football your first love then growing up?
Honestly, my first love growing up was probably basketball. But then I realized, you know, give yourself a look in the mirror and like, you know what? I don't think the NBA is going to be my future.
Right.
So, yeah, I played my freshman year at Alamany. And kind of just with family issues and stuff like that, I kind of put it to baseball to the side and focused on football. I also played basketball. And the football coach made us run track, so I dabbled with that a little bit to keep us in shape in the off season.
Okay. Well, I know you're a big Lakers fan. Were you a Dodgers or an Angels guy growing up?
Oh, yeah. Lakers all day, and it was Dodgers. I still love the Dodgers.
Okay. All right. I like some Dodgers, too. They got some good young players. They've been struggling, though, man. What's going on out there with that team?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're out there in la-la land, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. They'll pick it up.
Yeah, they got some great players out there. So you played tight end through high school. Then you came back to baseball. So, okay, as far as tight end goes, I can't find any stats. I'm assuming it's 6'5", you're a physical guy, you know, you're tough. You got hit in the face with a line drive, and we're only out about 3 weeks last winter. So I know you're a tough, big guy. Was college football a possibility for you?
Yeah, definitely. College football was the thing. That's what I thought my calling was. So I focused on football. I had – the thing that set me back was my grades. So, but the SAT and the grades and how it was set up, I had to go through the JC route, junior college.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was talking with UNLV, New Mexico, Fresno State, a little bit with San Jose State. But, yeah, I had to go the junior college route.
Okay. Well, so you were pretty good at football then. Those are good schools. So you ended up starting your college baseball career at JC of the Canyons in Arizona as an outfielder. So how did you end up there?
Actually, it's College of the Canyons. It's in Santa Clarita, California.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I ended up there. I was, I thought I was going to go play football somewhere. But it didn't turn out that way, and I guess you could say my pride or whatever you want to call it kind of landed me in, like, I didn't want to play junior college football. So I said, you know what? I had a friend that lived down the street, and he was playing baseball, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go try it out. I'm going to go try this baseball thing out.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing you did. You ended up your junior season in Hawaii, man, at Hawaii Pacific. How was it playing ball and living in Hawaii? Was it as amazing as it sounds?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, surprisingly, a kid from California going out to Hawaii, I don't really like the beach that much.
Really?
My skin is fair skin, and I get sunburned real easy. So I didn't get to enjoy it as much as the other people did, but I definitely loved it out there. Beautiful scenery, nice hikes. Obviously, the beaches are nice, but I didn't spend too much time there. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. And then you finished up 2015 college at Cal State Dominguez. You did make it 9 games out of the bullpen that year. So what kind of led you to pitching at that point? Did you ever pitch, like, way back in the day, like freshman year of high school, or was that the first time you'd pitched there as a senior in college?
I pitched travel ball growing up. I pitched my freshman year of high school. Then when I stopped playing completely, just stopped doing it. And when I came back, I wanted to play outfield. And, you know, just being a wide receiver, I'm like, I'm going to go play center field and make some nice catches and try and imitate Kevin Pillar a little bit. He went to Dominguez Hills as well.
Oh.
And, I'm in center field. And I think there's about 3 weeks left in the season. I just told the pitching coach, like, give me a shot in there at pitching if you're short on arms or somebody wasn't getting the job done. And sure enough, one outing, he comes out there for like a mound visit, and he points out the center field. I'm looking around like, oh, this is serious. So he called me in. I think I even pitched with my outfield glove on. And I had a couple of strikeouts, I believe, and I came in the dugout, and the coach came up to me. He's like, do you know how hard you're throwing? I'm like, I have no idea. And he's like, you're throwing 95 miles an hour. So I was in shock more than anybody. So, they kept throwing me out there. And we made it to playoffs. I pitched in playoffs, and the rest was uphill from there.
Oh, my gosh. So it's a good thing that whoever that kid was that was starting the game, it's a good thing he struggled, or you might not be here right now, right?
100%.
Wow. Life is funny like that, man. So, okay, so from reading an article on Baseball America, it said that you went to some pre-Jeff workouts right after that, but you didn't get any nibbles right away. What was that like? How many of those did you go to after your senior year?
So I went to a few of them. I went to, I think, the Reds. I did a Cubs one. I actually did one at Dodger Stadium. And so the guy, a friend of mine who was, I guess you could say, wasn't my agent but advising me at the time, he thought it was, he's like, you know, it'd be a good idea because they wanted me all as a hitter and an outfielder. So when I show up, he's like, you're going to show up and you'll be a pitcher and you go out there and throw 95 miles an hour. He's like, the element of surprise in 95 miles an hour is going to get you drafted. Little did I know. So I did the pre-draft workout stuff and I showed up. I'm like, you know what? I'm here as a pitcher. Some of them, I think the Reds, they didn't really like how I did that. I approached it. Which, looking back at it now, probably wasn't a good idea. But, yeah, same thing. I went out there. They had me throw to some hitters. Did well. 95, I think 96. And never got the call.
Huh. That's interesting. So then, to make money then for a while, so you worked as a personal trainer, and I love this man, an Uber driver. So what is the weirdest Uber experience? Did you ever pick up, like, a weird couple or, you know, intoxicated people? What was the worst Uber experience you had?
The worst Uber experience I had, that's a good question.
Or the weirdest, the oddest, maybe.
The oddest. So I would go out Uber mainly Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights out in Hollywood. And I picked up a couple females and in Hollywood. So I was taking them back home and they're intoxicated and they're in the back seat. And I get to the destination to let them go and they think they had met me inside the bar, and they were taking me home. So they get out of the car, and they're like, "Okay, park right here, and we'll go up, and we'll be in the room waiting for you." I'm like, "Oh no, I'm the Uber driver." They're like, "No, we remember you inside the bar." I'm like, "All right." They're like, "Yeah, just park right here." I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna find a parking spot." So they get out. I had to get out of there.
that's legendary right there. I love that. Okay, so what kind of car were you driving back then?
2006 Chevrolet Impala.
Do you still have it?
My sister drives it at the moment.
Okay, good. You got to keep that someday. That's good. Okay, and what was your driver rating? Do you know what your, you know, people can rate you? Do you know what it was?
I think I was, if I wasn't five, I was for sure 4.9.
Okay.
I was up there.
So you must have been giving away, like,
music. I had some water bottles for him. I had some mints, some gum. I had the vibes going on in there.
I was just about to say you must have had water bottles. You did. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so around this time, you meet renowned pitching expert Tom House. So first of all, for those who don't know who that is, kind of explain who he is and how did you meet him?
So I'll take it a step back. So when I didn't get drafted and I didn't get that phone call, I hung him up. I stopped playing. I put baseball behind me. And I was doing that. You said I was doing personal training and driving Uber. And one day I was just on Snapchat, believe it or not, and I saw a buddy of mine on his Snapchat story up at University of Southern California, USC, and he's training and working out with that guy, Tom House. At the time, I had no idea who he was. I was just asking, like, who is that? What are you doing up there? And he's like, he's the pitching guru, as everybody calls him. I'm like, oh, wow, like, that's incredible. Like, how did you meet him? And he's like, oh, I'm going to bring you next time if you want to go. He's like, because I played with the kid in high school and at Hawaii Pacific and Dominguez Hills. So he knew what I'm capable of. And he's like, honestly, you go out there and Tom sees you, he's like, he's going to fall in love with you. He's like, you're a big, strong kid. And he's like, and you throw hard. So maybe him working with you, he could show you a few things and maybe get you a look. So sure enough, I went out there and I threw a bullpen, worked out with Tom, and he took me under his wing and really just trained me. And the rest is history.
Wow. What's some lucky breaks here, man. God was good in your corner. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. God has opened so many doors. Just I'm forever grateful.
Yeah. So, okay, so February of 2016 then, you went to a tryout camp with the Texas Rangers. You got signed this time. So I always imagine the tryout camps being like Dennis Quaid and the rookie, I mean, minus the diaper bags and the kids coming along. But what was it like? What do you remember about that day?
So the way I got invited to the tryout camp is because I was training with Tom. I went like 6 months, three times a week, never missed a session. And Tom eventually looks at me like, what are you doing? Like, you're as good as gold. You got to go out there and get innings now and get in front of some people. And like, you keep coming here training, kind of like it's time to go to put it to good use. So he sent me out to Palm Springs to play in this California Winter League for like to get signed by an independent team. So I was out there for about 3 weeks, and my last outing happened to be a Rangers scout there. And he saw me throw. I guess he was on his way to his car to leave, and one of the other independent ball scouts had called him over to have him watch me. And I was 95, 96, I think touched 97 a couple times. And after the game, he came over and introduced himself as Rick Schrader. And he invited me to a preseason like open tryout. So I go out there. It was a couple weeks later. I drive out there with a buddy of mine, Quan Tran. And so I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning to go sign in. There's about 100 kids out there. And I go to sign in, and my name is not even on the list. Huh. So I'm like, oh, wow. So I call up the scout that invited me, and he comes in. He talks to him and kind of begged him, and they penciled me in to pitch last out of all the pitchers. And I was probably didn't get on the mound probably until about 4:30 in the afternoon. Sat around all day and went out there. And after, they came up to me like, you know how hard you're throwing? I'm like, I'm not sure. They're like, you're throwing 94 to 97. And they just asked me my background and where I've been and how come I've never been looked at or signed before. And I told my whole wild story, and they kind of loved it. And turned out I was the only one they signed out of that.
Oh, dude, this is a movie waiting to happen. You realize that, right? Like all these things that have happened? Wow, this is great. So then you sign with them.
Yeah. It's a string of good luck.
Well,
God looking out. I pray just him to guide his light, to guide my path with his light, and he's been doing so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay, so 2016 summer then, short season ball, Spokane Indians of the Northwest League, you pitched there. What do you remember most about that stint?
What I remember most about Beston is the fact that you literally play every single day. Even though it was a short season and I was coming out of extended, I was just so happy and, like, thankful for the opportunity. And it hits you, like, we really play every single day.
Yeah.
This is your job. So that's really what I remember most. And I honestly fell in love with it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then last year, so 2017, you went to spring training with Texas in surprise, but got released then during spring training. So were you shocked you got released? Were you expecting it? What were your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't say I was expecting it. I wasn't – it was, but at the same time, it wasn't a shock because, I mean, I'm an undrafted free agent.
Right.
Who only have, at this point, only 1 year of experience under my belt, and it's in short season rookie ball, and I'm 25 years old. And that's pretty much what they told me. Like, you're 25, you have 1 year of experience, and kind of not what we're looking for. We're going to try and find somebody with more experience and stuff like that. So at the same time, I was kind of upset, but I was, again, just grateful for the opportunity and the door that they opened and really let me see, have some insight on, you know what, I really can do this. Like, I feel like I belong here, and just really got to dedicate myself to it.
So before we get into last summer, remind our listeners what pitches you throw and then the velo where you sit and top out at, all that good stuff.
So I throw a four-seam fastball, a two-seam works as a sinker, a changeup, and a slider. Last year, my velos were, I was probably topping out 98. But in independent ball, I hit 99 a couple times.
Wow.
So yeah, just around that range.
Okay. Okay, so speaking of independent ball, it was the Windy City Thunderbolts of the Frontier League right outside of Chicago, I think 30 miles or so. So you signed with them after Texas released you last spring in 2017. How did you get hooked up with that team?
So when I got released, I called my agent and asked him, what are the next steps and what I have to do. He said he was going to try and get me in the American Association, which I guess is a good independent league with a lot of good guys with experience and stuff like that. So he said he was going to call me back in a couple of days. And he got back to me and was like, you know what? They say you don't have enough experience. You might not be good enough for that league. He's like, do you have anybody, any connections with independent league? So when I played in Palm Springs, I had met a guy by the name of Ron Biga, who's the manager at the Windy City Thunderbolts, and he wanted me, before I got invited to that camp with the Rangers, he wanted me to go play with him. So I had his number still stored on my phone, thankfully, and I gave him a call and asked if he had any spots open. And he was pretty excited to have me come out, so that's how I got hooked up with that deal.
Good. Well, 3.48 ERA and 11 appearances there when you signed with the Royals. But let's go a few games before that then. So did you honestly feel like you were going to get another chance and get signed out of that league by a major league organization? Did you feel like that was a good possibility going into that opportunity?
Honestly, after the first time I threw in the independent league spring training, I was hitting 97. And the pitchers on the staff and the catchers and the people on the team are like, yeah, that's unheard of for this league.
Huh.
And there was guys last year that got signed that were throwing 92 to 94. So you throwing that, you'll get picked up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So they actually had like a couple bets going on that I was going to go after the first game, that I was going to get signed after the first game. But it didn't turn out that way. And it was about 3 weeks in. I'm sitting there, we're on the road, and I'm talking to my brother. I'm like, you know what, maybe the call's not going to come. I started doubting myself. I'm like, maybe I'm wasting my time or what am I doing? And my brother said, you know what, give it another week. Give it another week, pray on it, and just stay positive. Just go out there and do your thing. And sure enough, it was about like 2, 3, maybe 4 days later, I walk into the clubhouse, and they said, you know what, the Royals just bought your contract off of you're going back to Surprise.
No, wait a minute. So had you talking to the – or not talking, I can't even speak English. Had you spoken to the Royals like before that, or was that out of the blue?
I had not. I guess there was a we played in St. Louis, and I guess they brought me in a late inning situation, and I guess there was a Royals scout there at the time, and I had no idea. After the game, they told me I was sitting 98, and then I was like, that's pretty cool, but I didn't know the Royals scout was there. So the next morning when I went in, I had no idea. I just went to my locker. The coach called me in. He's like, the Kansas City Royals just bought your contract. Congratulations. Kind of my heart just dropped for a second. I just called my mom and let her know, and she was very excited.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So you got a second chance then with an MLB organization. You came over to the Royals last year between Burlington, Lexington, and Omaha. So I do want to point out that I was on you early. I was the first person to tweet about you in Burlington, so I was before the bandwagoner showed up, man. So you had a combined 1.69 ERA, 0.96 whip, 39 Ks, and 37 and a third. And, you know, what a whirlwind of a summer. So let's start off by talking about Burlington and the Appy League. You weren't there real long, but what do you remember about the Appy League?
The Appy League, I was my first time in North Carolina, and I was just so excited to have the opportunity, and just kind of soaked it in. Like you said, I wasn't there long, but I definitely enjoyed my stint. The field, now that the field that we play at now, I look back and like, wow,
yeah.
Come a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then so even less of a time in Lexington. Do you even remember Lexington? That was probably a blink, right? You were there for, what, 2 weeks or something?
Honestly, when I first got to Lexington, the stadium over there, I loved it. And I have a really close family friend that actually played football over there at University of Kentucky. He was a quarterback at Maxwell Smith. So he was still out there in the area, so he was able to come watch me play a couple times, and I got to hang out with him and spend some time with him. He showed me around the area. So actually, I really enjoyed Lexington. I got there, and like I said, I looked at the stadium. I'm like, dang, this is really professional baseball. Like, a big stadium, fans come, and I love the environment. I love Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, and then so you end up with Omaha last year after beginning the year with Texas in spring training, then Windy City. I mean, what a whirlwind of a summer when you look back, right?
Yeah, looking back at it, like, I've come a long way. It's only been, like, last time this year, I was out there in independent ball. Huh. Think about it, I'm in AAA. It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. So this past winter, then, you went to the Dominican League, but as a lot of people know, you got nailed by a line drive in the face. I've watched that video a few times. Man, I'm glad you're okay, man. That looked bad. But you had three facial fractures, didn't need any surgery, thankfully. But how scary was that moment? What do you remember about the actual moment it happened?
The actual moment, so looking back at it, Cam Gallagher is my catcher. So I throw a sinker, and he hits it right back at me, and I promise you, I seen it coming in slow motion. It was the weirdest thing. And I try and go to catch it, and I was just too slow. And the next, in the Dominican, the fans are unbelievable out there. They're loud. They're screaming the whole time. They're always engaged, and I loved it. The moment the ball hit me in the face, my head just started dinging. I didn't hear anything but my own voice in my head and a loud bell. I got my bell rung. And I think there was a runner on first and second, I believe. And the ball hits off my face and it shoots into right field. The first thing I thought was, dang, I should have threw a slider. And two, I got to get behind home plate to cover, to back up. And then three, it kind of hit me like, dang, did I just get hit in the face with the ball? Am I bleeding? I checked. I'm like, oh, I'm not bleeding. And I just sat there like, dang, I really just got hit in the face with the ball. But after that, after all that whirlwind kind of slowed down, I'm like, all right, like, give me the ball. Let's go. And the trainer comes running out, and I think he was more scared than I was. He's looking at me, and his face says it all, like, oh, my gosh, are you all right? And he just, like, reminds me, he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, all right, tell me what happened. And the first thing I said was, I should have threw the slider. So that kind of broke the ice a little bit. He was laughing, so let him know I was all right. But I told him I was fine to stay in the game, and he's like, absolutely not. Your face is too swollen. We got to get you to the hospital. So once he said that, it kind of just hit me, like, oh, wow, there might be a problem here.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was kind of cool watching the video that a couple of the guys from the other team came over and were, you know, the batter was apologizing to you. Could you understand him? What was he saying?
Yeah, he just said sorry. And, you know, I told him it's not his fault. I made a bad pitch and I should have went with the slider. But
that's funny.
That's just the way the game is. And that's what you sign up for.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, man. So you went to the emergency room there. And this is kind of funny, too. So you were recognized by other patients and the staff and were signing autographs? Is that true?
Yeah, so I walk in. First, like, the ride over there was crazy. They put you in the back of a minivan. There's, like, no seats. And the driver's driving on the wrong side of the road and swerving in and out of traffic, going through red lights. And I guess that's the norm. I'm like, you know, I'm all right. I'm not shot here. I'm perfectly fine. We take our time. Make sure we get there, and we walk in, and they have like a little TV there, and everyone's like kind of watching the game. And I came in, and they just immediately looked at me like, "Oh, that's the guy that was just on TV." So they put me in this little like makeshift room with a couple curtains around. Didn't do very much, and people were just coming in through the curtains asking for pictures and autographs and stuff like that. And the trainer was like, "No, no, no," and I told him like, "No, it's okay. You guys can come in. Like, I'm perfectly fine." So I took some pictures, signed some autographs, and did what I had to do.
It sounds like they don't have great HEPA laws over there, right, with the medical privacy.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah. Well, did you have any nightmares after that, or did you really just shake it off that easily?
Honestly, I had no pain, no nightmares, no, like, I was fine. Like, they said I was going to get headaches. I haven't had one to this day. Yeah, really just didn't really have the pain. They, one of the nurses came in, I think she had a long needle for like the pain to numb the pain.
Yeah.
Kind of freaked me out. I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not in any pain. I don't think I need that. And, she kind of looked at me like I was crazy, but then I looked in the mirror and see my face was the size of a watermelon. I guess I could see where she was coming from.
Yeah. You're apparently robo pitcher with no pain. So we got robo pitcher here. So this year, non-roster invitee to big league camp for the first time. I mean, obviously it was exciting. What was that experience like for you?
Man, that was that was unbelievable. I tried to remind myself to just live in the moment, enjoy every minute of it, and soak it in. It was honestly an unbelievable feeling. Seeing like the big guys you watch on TV, like Salvador Perez. I even got to throw to him one time in the game. Mike Moustakas, we're from the same area, and my freshman year we actually played against him. I went to high school with Tim Hill for a year.
Oh, no way.
So that was cool. So just seeing the big-time guys, Gordon, Merrifield, John Jay, guys like that, I'm like, we're in the same clubhouse. This is awesome. And, it was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, Tim Hill's had quite the story, man, overcome quite a bit as well. Was he doing that funky delivery when you knew him in high school?
Yeah, I believe he was. Funky Tim.
I love it, man. Love that he's having success and that you are as well. So I guess last thing before we get to our rapid fire questions is, you know, what are you working on the most right now?
I'm working on the most is just repeating my delivery. That's like the biggest thing. And I think I've got a pretty good routine that I stick with. That's a big plus for me that I try to stay involved with. And just repeating my delivery, throwing strikes and attacking the hitters.
Love it. Okay, well, before we go, we always do 10 rapid-fire questions, random things about your life. You ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Are you more of a fan of dogs or cats?
Neither.
Really? Not a pet guy? No pets
at
all?
Yeah, not a pet guy at all.
Okay. All right, I respect that. Favorite singer or band?
Favorite singer or band? I would do J. Cole or Justin Bieber.
Oh, I like it. I can respect both. Justin Bieber, actually, I work for a radio station here in Kansas City. He did his first concert for us, so I got to hang out with a 14-year-old Justin Bieber for a day back in the day. And the mom, too. The mom didn't like it when I hit on her, but that's all right. All right. So do you have a favorite baseball movie?
Favorite baseball movie? Probably The Sandlot, of course.
The Sandlot? I love that one. Okay, what is the most annoying thing an Uber passenger does? What's the thing we should try to do a little bit better as Uber passengers?
Try not to smoke in the car.
Oh, gosh.
Or if you're going to do that, at least ask.
Yeah, okay. All right. Who's your best friend in the Royals organization?
Best friend right now is probably Adalberto Mondesi.
Okay. All right. Your favorite opposing minor league stadium that you've pitched in?
Man, El Paso, Texas, when I made my first game pitched in AAA. That stadium was unbelievable.
The Chihuahuas. I like it.
Yes, sir.
Is there an MLB pitcher that you study the most or look up to the most or somebody you think might be semi, you know, kind of similar to you?
A couple of people told me Jake Arrieta.
Okay.
I kind of look at his film and kind of have that same kind of cross body throw action, and
is there ever a possibility you grow the beard like Jake Arrieta?
Yes, very very good possibility.
Okay.
In the minor leagues we can't have facial hair, but
someday,
hopefully one day I could be able to grow it out.
Okay. How many tattoos are you rocking right now total?
Honestly, I lost count.
Okay.
I lost count. It's a good amount though. And more to come.
Okay, I was gonna say, what's the next one you want to get?
There's actually quite a few, but the next one I want to get, I'm not sure of the spot yet, but I want to get, Baseball Chaplain, we were talking about the humility of Jesus washing the feet of people, and just shows the humility and kind of really hit home with me. So I think that might be my next one.
Okay, awesome. And then my last question is, what would you like to say to Royals fans listening right now?
Royals fans listening right now? There's going to be a lot of new faces, I guess, coming up in the organization and the prospects coming up. And I love to see you guys' loyalty. And it means a lot. Hope to see you guys soon.
Awesome. Well, we're, you know, looking forward to seeing you up here at some point and following your progress. And, you know, man, congratulations, you know, on coming to the Royals organization and moving up the ladder, and continued success to you. And hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.